Blog Talk Radio.
In 3 years, so I'm proud of all my players. They hated me, but after 20-some years, after 1993, I just really appreciate me, man. And I love all my players.
Nice, man.
The Metro Bulls.
Metro Bulls, yeah, man. I had the opportunity to see those pictures, to see all of the photos and the trophies and the ring and man, that's amazing. You know, I mean, I pay attention to sports, but I never actually got to meet anyone who has, you know, won a championship and especially done it on the level that you've done it for, man. So right now what we're about to do is we're about to cut to a short break, and we'll be back live with more from your man, the one and only legendary Hangman Brooks.
Oh,
that's good.
Who's calling?
Oh, man, Mara keep calling me. I don't know how bad.
You don't know you got a show?
Yeah, you know I got a show. Totally. Back live here with Hangman Brooks. We just in here, you know, talking about, you know, the different things that Mr. Brooks here, the legend, went through his, you know, careers in football and baseball and sports. And we just wanted to, you know, share that information with you. Besides that, I heard there's a lot of other work that you do in the community as well.
Yeah, well, my job for 35 years, you know, dealing with young people. And 1995, I was head of the Youth Gang Task Force for Deakin Public Schools, and our job was to mediate gang disputes in and around Deakin Public Schools. We had a six-man team, and we were very successful. We did over 400 mediations with no retaliations, which is a blessing from God, because, you know, a lot of times they would say they wouldn't, you know, shoot or fight each other anymore, and they would come back and do it. But we were a big impact on those young people, and we never had a retaliation. And my thing was, you know, I go into all the neighborhoods, Lincoln Heights, Clay Church, 58, Central City, you know, Uptown, Trinidad, going to all the neighborhoods, and you can't go in those neighborhoods unless you know somebody. If you don't know anybody, you can't go up there. But the thing about it is, when they know you're real, when the kids know you're real, they know you are not biased against one group and another group. You're very successful. Plus, I had a way, you know, use my personality, I had a way to help people.
Yeah.
I was blessed.
You're definitely a cool dude. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. Since I met you, my man. Hang man. So, yeah, so what was that like? I mean, just, you know, have an opportunity to have that experience to go into all these different neighborhoods around the city. You were born and raised in the city, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice, yeah.
I didn't have a problem. See, first of all, I wasn't afraid of young people. And that's the key. A lot of adults, and I'm 66 years old, and I still can communicate with young people. But a lot of people, adults, are afraid. First of all, if you don't know how to approach them, or if you don't understand what they're talking about, and then you have a problem because they look at your age and they figure, well, you just don't understand what we're talking about. But I was blessed to have that I could talk trash to them. You know, I could be serious. And I never had an incident where they wanted to threaten me or kill me, you know. And I knew the grandfathers, the mothers, you know, the aunts and uncles, because I've been around the town so long. So I'm really blessed. God blessed me because I've been in some dangerous situations.
Wow.
I usually got shot by accident.
Wow.
So,
that's,
you know,
crazy.
In a lot of high profile gang situations in D.C. that made the papers, we resolved a lot of those issues.
That's amazing, man.
And we had other groups along, Alliance of Concerned Men and Albany Farrakhan, Seaside, All Smoking Brothers and Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And my man Louis Cardone had dealt with the Spanish group. So it was just a few of us out there, you know.
Right.
Only a few that I trust.
Right, right. Yeah. That's amazing. And if you want to, you know, call in to speak to Mr. Brooks here, and this show will be aired for you guys each and every Wednesday from 12 to 1. We try to get everybody on the lunch break area. But you can give us a call in at 929-477-2975. And we'll also have a show each and every Saturday as well at 7:30. Just to catch everyone who didn't get to catch us now. But we're going to be bringing, you know, more sports, more real-life events that's going on in and around the D.C. area. And just more with Mr. Hangman Brooks. I mean, he's done a lot in the community. Not only that, been a pro athlete, which, you know, takes a lot to with the conditioning of just yourself, your mind, your body, your workouts. I mean, how was the workouts going for you then? Like, what type of?
Yeah. Well, when I was coming along, you know, weightlifting wasn't prominent as it is today. When I started lifting weights in about 1978, you know, Roger Scott Brennan and I got me, God rest his soul, he got me into weightlifting. And back then, it was a lot of isometrics. But has it involved over the years, you know, weightlifting, the training regimen has stepped up. It's a lot different than what it was back in the Stone Age when I played. You got to be in tip-top shape to play today. Mm-hmm. You got to be intelligent to play football. A lot of people think all you do is go out there and play. You got to be intelligent because, you know, a lot of the system and the offensive, defensive run that are upscale, and you got to be able to think on your feet. And it's a brutal game. The game I play, I'm glad I played back in the day because you can really go after people and got very few penalties. The only penalty you probably got was face mask, but you can hit people going out of bounds. You can hit quarterbacks any way you want to. You can hit receivers, what those call, thing called the defenseless receiver. I mean, you can take their head off. And I wanted to take their head completely off the chance I got because I want to win the game and I want intimidation.
And
I used to say, I got my own Bible. Do unto others before they do unto you.
Hey.
You better get them before they get you.
I heard
and
that.
I'm not taking any prisoners.
Hey.
Don't have room on the bus. I never said the Lord's Prayer for a game because the Lord don't care who wins the game.
I heard that.
He gave you a brain. You made a decision. You want to play football. So you know you're going to get hurt at some point or injured.
Yeah.
So if you want the Lord to protect you, play checkers or a quiet game.
Don't come out there with the big boys, huh?
I'm going to try to do everything I can to hurt you.
I know that's right.
And my mother used to say, well, suppose somebody hurt you. Please, I don't want nobody to hurt me. I don't want to be in the hospital.
But
I want to put you in the hospital.
Hey, yeah, man, that's crazy. So, what were some of the toughest plays that you played against, and some that you probably, gave the most intimidation to with your aggressive style on the field?
Well, I played against a lot of teams. And back in the '70s, we played a lot of farm teams for the NFL. We played Youngstown Hardhats. We played Columbus Bucks, Schuylkill Cold Crackers for the Eagles farm team. We played against Stratton. We played against a lot of teams, Connecticut with New York Giants. And we played against a lot of high-profile teams.
Wow.
We played against Joe Gillen. We played with the Steelers. We played minor league ball. I played against them. Also, played against Jack Dawson. Played against Denver Broncos. Jerry Mulkey. I played against him. I played against a lot of good ball players.
Wow.
Baltimore Rams were my arch rival, you know, and a lot of people used to call me Cheap Shot, dirty ball player.
Uh-oh.
And I used to say, well, I'm just trying to protect myself. I'm trying to protect myself. I said, no, you was out there initiating. I said, I'm trying to protect myself.
Uh-huh. Man, giving them that work out there, man. That's nice, man. So out of all the positions that was on the field, I know the position you played, but what was your favorite positions on the field?
Corner, because corner, you're playing the wide receiver. That's a challenge between you and him. If he beats you, everybody in the stadium knows. If you shut him down, you don't get the glory unless he's a great receiver. But my thing was the challenge of playing somebody one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And we did play a lot of zone.
Uh-huh.
And the one-on-one was an ego thing. We play zone. That's the area where you could intercept a lot of balls and hurt people,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming across the middle of one to the out.
Yeah.
And every chance I got, I try to drill them in the ground. I try to take them out. Because winning the game is one thing. When they think about what they had to go against in me,
mm-hmm.
and what I try to do, it makes a man think.
Huh.
Now, a lot of people came to me. You know, they came to me then.
Yeah.
I got my share of bumps there.
Uh-huh.
You hit me too.
Yeah.
But the key to it is when you get hit, are you going to punk out or are you going to stand fast uh-huh. in the game? And my thing was, I can take it, but I'm going to give it out.
Uh-huh. I know that.
And blood in my eyes, right?
Yeah.
Every chance I got is bringing conviction. That elbow, we used to call that thing, point of attack, violent at the point of attack. No question.
Hey,
you got to bring it.
Yeah.
Now the game has changed.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I mean, like, do you think these football players that we have today could even survive back in that time? I mean, is there anybody who fit for that bill?
Yeah, I think they would have survived because the times would have been different and they would understand that the rules the way they were.
Yeah.
I think they could have survived because I think now a lot of them are friendly and nice to each other. Back then, you know, they would have been just like us.
Yeah.
So a lot of them would have worked out. Anybody playing football, I give great respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think they could work out. They could work out back then.
Nice. Yeah, man. With all that you went through, I mean, other than the rules and, you know, and how, I mean, were the rivals more aggressive towards each other? Like, I mean, y'all always talk smack. Like, what was it? Yeah, how was it?
Well, when I played with the Bears, our rivalry was a stonewall. That's what most of my teammates had, a stonewall thing. My thing was the Baltimore Rams. Baltimore Rams were a big physical team.
Yeah.
They had uniforms just like the L.A. Rams, pretty blue uniform.
Uh-huh.
They were real physical. They were big. They had a lot of guys from Morgan State, Maryland, Towson,
uh-huh.
Virginia State, right?
Yeah.
And I remember one game, they were getting off the bus, and I got out of my car, and I was going to the locker room. I was so happy, and they turned and looked at me and said, you,
uh-huh.
no, they said, you, we are going to get you tonight. The game plan is to get you.
Oh, man.
I was happy. So they say, we going to get you. And all of a sudden, I said, these people trying to hurt me.
Oh, that's black crowd, man.
So I'm in the locker room. So everybody said, why are you quiet? I said, these people trying to hurt me. And my teammates say, what did you expect? So I said, these people trying to really hurt me.
Oh, but.
And I thought about it. I said, you know, it's one thing when you know people hurt you or they're trying to hurt you, but another thing is when people come and tell you, we coming after you.
Mm.
I said, well, I got to be ready tonight.
Yeah.
I got to be ready, or they be carrying me to the hospital down the street.
Right.
It's our university. I'm not trying to go to the hospital.
Hey.
So we had some tense rivalries. Guy Mike Motley played. Wide receiver with Baltimore. God rest his soul.
A lot of that intimidation.
Yeah, but he was rough, though, right?
Yeah.
But the Baltimore Rams used to say, when you play against Brooks, don't get caught standing around their piles. Just come along and clean your clock. If I catch you standing around the football field and whistle that blown, I'm going to let you have it. And a lot of people said, I hit people after the whistle. I hit people going in the locker room. They must have lied.
Wow.
I never hear somebody going back to the locker room.
Man,
hear somebody walking back saying,
I came in hot
to a little too, but I never did. I got thrown out a few games, not as many as people think.
Yeah.
I got thrown out some games. I got a few 15-yard penalties.
Uh-huh.
And one game, I got 3 15-yard penalties in a row.
Oh.
And the team was down on the 10-yard line, and I intercepted the ball and brought it back to the 50.
Oh, man. Hey.
Coach said, you better make a big play. You're going to be off the team.
Oh, man.
You got to threat me.
Oh, man.
He threatened me one time in the locker room.
You got the penalty out of that.
Yeah, he said, if you keep getting penalties, you know, you're going to be off the team.
Wow.
Then he said, matter of fact, you're off the team.
Mm-hmm.
I was shook up. So we got out of the locker room. He said, I was just saying that. Get everybody's attention. Go to practice Tuesday.
Man.
Yeah.
How was that? How was Bob? I mean,
Bob Johnson, he's still around. Bob Johnson was funny, man. Bob Johnson was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he'll talk trash on the sideline. I got a lot more stuff from him. I learned a lot from him. He was charismatic. You know, he was upbeat. Coming out of the side of his mouth, throwing a lot of trash. You know, my defensive coordinator, John Bond, who's sick right now, they got popular today. John Bond would preach the Bible to you and say, don't help people up because the Lord will present him again, so you don't want to give him any, use your energy to help him up. John Bond didn't like some of the tactics I used, but he could not afford to set me on the bench.
Right, right.
Because I was a big part.
Impact of the game. Impact of the game.
And one memory I'll never forget, we played Baltimore in the championship in Cadoba.
Uh-huh.
And I hit a guy, and the pile fell on my leg and tore my medial collateral ligament.
Oh, wow.
And I had to be helped off the field. That was embarrassing.
Oh,
that never happened to me. And they wrapped me up with ice. The guy that came in for me got beat for a touchdown. And
man.
The other guy told me, came up, you got to play. You got to play. I said, I can't play. I can't walk. I can't stand up. You're going to have to play. You have to play.
Wow.
I want you out there on the field anyway. I said, man, I'm going to get beat for a touchdown. I can't tackle anybody. My leg is gone.
Yeah.
No, we want you out here. We want you out here. Just stand there. Just stand there.
Yeah.
We'll play a zone. I said, but I can't cover.
Yeah.
He said, stand there. I said, okay. I said, man, Spencer, take the wrap off. Right?
Oh, wow.
I went out there, had ice on me, but had it wrapped up. You could see I was walking. I was limping.
Oh, man.
So Mike Moat from Baltimore said, lift. That was the quarterback. Let's go after him. Let's go after him.
Yeah.
He can't walk. This was in the fourth quarter. Here's my hand to the good Lord. They did not throw over there the whole fourth quarter. And we won the championship. After the game, they saw my leg. And Mike Moat told you, I told you, I thought he was just jabbing. I didn't think he was serious.
Oh, man.
He was not throwing over there. I can't believe it.
Legendary.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Legendary. That's crazy, man. That is legendary. Yeah, man. Just the intimidation, your presence.
Yes, and I couldn't walk. I mean, I really couldn't walk.
With an UCL tear.
Yes. Wow. I did have to operate, but it was bad enough to live about 6 months. But that was a championship game, so I played again, after that. But I'm telling you, I'm so lucky.
Yeah. Because that's a championship game.
If he'd just lobbed the ball to him, it'd have been all over.
Yeah. Wow, man. That's amazing. Okay, sure, you got millions of stories like that, man.
Man, I got a lot of stories, man.
Yeah.
You know, receivers talking trash to me.
Yeah.
What they going to do to me, I stick my finger in their eye. I swell up. A lot of hard stories.
Yeah.
All football players have. At the bottom of the pile,
yeah,
it's a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot of stuff going
biting,
on there.
Oh. Gouging. It's wow. A lot of, in today's game.
Yeah, they're
going for it. And they talk about teams cheating. Everybody cheats.
Yeah.
It's a big multi-billion-dollar business.
Right.
You do anything to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Now, when you're in the boys' club or high school, you want to play fair.
Right.
You want to play fair. Teach them how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to be a grown man, it's another level.
Right.
You do anything to win.
And I mean, that's how I will be, too. I mean, even in the things that I do, I want to win. You know,
that's right.
Even if it's not sports, you know what I mean? I want to be in.
Absolutely.
But Brooks is giving us a lot about the game right now, a lot about the history of his game. And we're going to be right back with you after this short song. And we're going to have to get into these teams because you know I'm a fan of the hometown, you know.
You're
going to have to, you know, break this down for me a little bit when we get back.
Okay.
All right. Pain Man Brooks in the building. So we were just talking, you know, about, you know, all the stuff that, you know, we got going on here. And I wanted to, you know, I'm a diehard, you know, Redskins fan. I love the Redskins. I love
That's unfortunate.
I love the Redskins. I mean, since I've been born, that's been, you know, who I've been rocking with. I mean, I rock with all the hometown locals. You know what I mean? So I'm an Orioles fan because that's what was here for me before, you know, the Nationals came. Like, you know, I'm a hockey fan. You know, I'm messing with the Capitals. You know what I mean? Like, that's just me. I mean, how do you feel about the Redskins and their position in the league right now?
Well, you know, my favorite team is New England, but I also like Cincinnati. I like teams with organization. I'm not so much a fan. I'm more of a coach and a student of the game. I don't look at football the same way a lot of people. It doesn't make a difference where I live at. I look at a team for what it's worth. Now, when I was growing up, the reason why I like the Dallas Cowboys because the Cowboys were drafting blacks from small colleges. They were a few teams that had a computer.
Yeah.
And I remember when Jim Brown came here, Lenny Moore, Baltimore Colts, Bob Hayes, and a lot of the Redskins fans hated blacks. You know, a lot of them were season ticket holders from North Carolina and Virginia, and they should throw things at black ball players who hated blacks. And I remember when the Redskins first got Bobby Mitchell, George Preston Marshall wanted him to dress up like an Indian, you know.
Wow.
So a lot of ball players came in. They had problems because, you know, they were the last team to have black ball players. But the Dallas Cowboys had a lot of black athletes from small schools, and that really impressed me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I started liking other teams. I've been liking New England for maybe about 20 years. I was impressed with the organization.
Right,
the
right.
The coaching staff, the way they put things together. I have to love a team like that. I'm not getting into that because they win in and stuff, and they, all the Redskins losing. I really never liked the Redskins, but I respect them. When they were winning Super Bowls, I didn't like them, but I respect them. With
right.
A lot of people now, they don't respect teams that win.
Right.
You know, it's a jealousy thing.
Uh-huh.
The Redskins right now, they're one of the worst organizations in the NFL. But they brought in a new general manager, so they're trying to get better.
Right, right.
I've always said that I didn't like RG3 as a quarterback when he first got drafted. And I said so on my Facebook, people said I was crazy.
Yeah.
I said, a man that runs around, I'm not looking for a quarterback like that. I had a quarterback, Sam Taylor, could run.
Mm-hmm.
But he threw the ball from the pocket. And when he had to run, he ran. You know,
Taylor.
Yeah, he's the quarterback Metro Bulls.
Nice.
Went to Virginia, Virginia State or Virginia Union.
Uh-huh.
His father was a legendary coach at Coolidge, right?
Oh, wow.
Sam Taylor.
Yeah.
But, you see, when you don't have an organization, you don't win. You can't name a team in the NFL or any sport that has a terrible organization and they win all the time. People think it's all about the coach and the quarterback. It starts at the top, right?
Yeah.
RG3, he came from a spread offense, never had a playbook, and everybody talked about how he could run.
Right.
I don't want a quarterback that can run. I want a quarterback that can buy time in the pocket.
Yeah.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning can't run to the bathroom.
I was happy. I was super excited when they told me we had RG3 and he can move and he can run fast and all that. I was like, oh, man, he's about to get it.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah, because most fans look at the glitz and the glamour. But I knew for a fact, when you talk about a guy that can run all the time, the game is about the quarterback. You throw the ball, receiver catch the ball, and the running back run the ball.
Right.
So I looked at his mechanics. Didn't read defense as well. Pocket perception wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness.
Yeah.
He had a lot of things, you know, going against him because in college, they take out black ball players and they use their athletic ability, but they don't teach them how to be quarterbacks.
Right,
then when he gets to the pros, You know, a lot of black quarterbacks struggle.
Right.
We only got one black quarterback in the Hall of Fame. That's Warren Moon, who's a pocket passer.
But Minnesota Vikings.
He played Minnesota. He played with Seattle. He played, you know, he played with Tennessee.
Nah.
Oh, and the thing about it is, I don't get excited over a quarterback running around because in the NFL, if you do too much running, you're going to get hurt.
Right. And, I mean, look at it.
Yeah.
You got hurt.
And I said that because you're running it now. Mike Shanahan didn't want RG3. People don't realize that. That was Dan Snyder. They had it back and forth.
Yeah.
Now, the first year he ran the read option. The read option is you read the linebacker or the defensive end. If he's coming, you pitch the ball out. If he drops back, you throw the ball. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So what happened was it was easy for him.
Yeah.
But I always told everybody, defensive coaches are not going to let you keep doing that.
Right.
So, by him running, he like excitement.
Yeah.
You got to realize when linebackers in the NFL are fast. They can close ground. He didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Because he thought it was a piece of cake. Till they start understanding what he's about and start coming after him.
Right. Right.
And then he's had two knee replacements. Two,
right.
Reconstructed knee surgery. He had two. He's about 25 years old. That's like a man with a 50-year-old knee. Now, he can't run. Nobody's afraid of him. And he's not doing good in the pocket because he don't understand the game because he hasn't been taught in college.
Right, right.
And if you look at all our quarterbacks coming in the league, they're struggling because they don't teach them how to be quarterbacks in college.
Mm-hmm.
The white boys who don't have the athletic ability, they teach them how to be quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And if I was a parent, and I had a son going to college, and he was a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
He would not go to a school unless they're going to run a pro offense.
I know, that's right.
You're not running a pro offense, I'm going to let my son go there.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents have made mistakes by sending kids quarterbacks to Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first-string quarterback get hurt, Baylor, the second-string quarterback come in, they can just win.
Mm-hmm.
The pros, it's a different ball game.
Right, right. So what you think about that line, though? I mean, do you think that the line did everything, O-line did everything that they were supposed to do to, you know, help make it so that he can, you know, get that progression.
Well, people don't realize, everybody's talking about blocking. There's two ways you can get blocking. First of all, you got to get rid of the ball. You only got 3 seconds. If you hold the ball, that means you can't read defense. You got to get rid of the ball. Second of all, people don't realize the quarterback calls line protection. And if he makes a mistake, he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, when you get in trouble, sometimes you got to learn to fall down and take a sack. When you start running around trying to make stuff happen, you fumble the ball, you have problems. RG's biggest problem there is he has not learned the ABCs of football in the pro game. He's not learned it yet. And it's hard. It's hard for somebody to come in from a spread offense and never had a playbook, and then you want him to come in the NFL and just kick tail. It's very hard. People don't realize how hard it is to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
Then, he's, to me, he don't have instincts for a quarterback. He don't have instincts.
Yeah.
Now, Cousins, I said this a long time ago, Cousins is more of a pro-style quarterback.
Okay.
He made a lot of mistakes, but they were drafted at the same time.
Right.
He acted like Cousins been there 15 years.
Right, right. Exactly.
So, and I said Cousins is going to be a better quarterback. I said it on Facebook 2 years ago, and people said I was crazy.
Wow.
They don't have a great offensive line.
Mm.
They don't have a great defensive line. They played against New Orleans, and they look good.
Right.
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 New Orleans got the worst defense in the league.
Yeah.
Right. 31. Yeah. Everybody's killing.
Yeah.
Everybody's killing New Orleans, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they played against New England, there was nothing going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So the weak teams, now they play Cam Newton in Carolina.
Yeah.
The defense they got, they won't score 47 points. You better believe it.
Cam, we always get one game like that a year, though.
Yeah.
Cam
Newton is on a roll, and it's.
Yeah, I didn't know.
He's really, it's really going to be hard.
He's looking good.
He's 250, and he's 6'5. and he is.
He can see over that. Yeah.
He can throw in the pocket.
Yeah.
That swim lane, and he can get his hat and coat and run.
Yeah.
And their defense,
man,
is a bunch of wild animals.
Yeah.
So, Scott McLuhan, the general manager, I think he's building things in the right way with the Redskins, but the offensive defensive line are not what you call on the one yet. They can't stop the run.
Right.
And they don't have an inconsistent pass rush.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, it's only two offensive linemen they got that I would take on my team. But it takes time. But they should have had a general manager a long time ago.
Right.
And on the other side of the coin, the Dallas Cowboys, they have some real good players. Their biggest problem is the owner wants to be the general manager. He is causing problems, and they got a puppet for a coach. You know, he's got a yes man for a coach.
Yeah.
He, if he stepped back and gave it to a high-profile coach and let him run it,
yeah,
Cowboys could win a Super Bowl. They won maybe two Super Bowls in the last 10 years. If they had Bill Parcells and let him stay there.
Right.
Jerry Jones, he wants to be the focal point of the team.
Right.
And
he's always out in the public. You know what I mean? Like,
and Jason Garrett has no business being an NFL coach, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it's Jerry say this, Jerry say that. Whatever Jerry say, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jerry coach.
But if you got a man that can take charge, he should be the coach.
I know that's right, man. Hey, you can call in at 929-477-2975 to talk to Mr. Brooks, Hangman, the one and only legendary DC legend. We will be running this show every Wednesday from 12 to 1. Also, we'll have our second spinoff show on Saturdays from 7:30 to 8:30. And we thank you for spending some time with us today. And we'll be back on Saturday. So stay tuned in, pay attention, and we look forward to getting back to you really soon.
Before we go, I want everybody to have a great evening, and I want to give a shout-out to my granddaughter, Denasia, my two daughters, Candy and Teresa, and Isaiah, and Alonzo AJ, who's my buddies, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we will be back Saturday. Until then, remember, if you're nervous, join the church service. If you're scared, stay in bed. If you got it, come on and talk to us. We'd be glad to have you. We will have special guests, and we'll have call-ins. This show was just about seeing who I am and what I'm about. Thank you.
Hangman Brooks. Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Big Talk, Everything DC Radio Active, the artist. Hey, man, we here live in the DMV each and every day, putting it down for the DC, for the Maryland, for the VA. Hey, singing music in at everythingdmv@gmail.com. Make sure you get on. If you're not on, we make sure you take care of our people around here, man. Got some great things coming up this season. Today, aware, pay attention because it's going down. It's your boy Big Block, Everything DMV Radio Active, the art of choice where you get heard. I'm Gracias.